You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
Great, shall we continue on in our time together? So, my name's Mark, for those that I haven't met before. I'm married to Emily, who opens up this morning, so you've got a bit of a husband and wife combo this morning. You might be expecting Romans 4. I'm really sorry to disappoint you. We're not going to be in Romans today. It's going to be an interlude of a one-week holiday while Alan is recovering from a bad cough and cold. So do send your well wishes to him, and hopefully next week we will be back in Romans 4 together. But today we're going to be instead in the book of Proverbs. And now, youth, if you're still around with us in various corners of the room, it's been really good to have you as part of our service this morning and serving in loads of different areas. And now, this book actually speaks quite directly to almost like those who are kind of working out what path they're going to follow, what sort of person you want to be. So for you guys who are youth with us this morning, this speaks directly to you. But more than that, it's a book that is for anyone who's exploring what it looks like to be wise, to do what is right and just and fair, which I think almost whether you're consider yourself a Christian this morning or even if you don't consider yourself a Christian this morning, I think we're all a bit intrigued of, well, what's that look like? How do we do that? So hopefully this morning we'll be able to unpack a bit of that. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs 1, starting with the first 7 verses. And I'll work out this clicker. So this is what we're going to be in today. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, in understanding words of insight, to accept instruction in prudent behavior, what is right and just and fair, to give to the uncommitted shrewdness, to the young knowledge and discretion. Let the wise hear and add to their learning, and let the insightful acquire guidance. In understanding a proverb, namely a parable, the sayings of the wise, namely their riddles, the fear of the Lord, or I am, Yahweh, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's just pray, and then we'll dig into this. God, thank you that you've been meeting us this morning, that we've encountered you in your holiness. And Lord, as we come to your word, would you speak to us, open up our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you, through your Holy Spirit, are at work in your church. You're at work in us as individuals. And we pray that you would illuminate these words for us, that we would love you and worship you and grow up in you. Amen. Amen. So I don't know how familiar you are with the book of Proverbs. It's a little bit different to some of the other books in the Bible. It's not like a story. It's not a letter. On the kind of first glance, it almost feels like a sort of sense of good kind of hints and tips, like bite-sized life hacks for you to kind of get your head around. So you encounter things like this that say, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness." And you think, "Amen, brother." But while that might come as a heartening truth to many, you'd be forgiven for asking, well, that's all well and good, but what does that quite have to do with God and Christianity and Jesus? Well, actually, right at the start of this book, it grounds it right in Israel's salvation history, Israel, the people of God. It says, "Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." David, the quintessential king after God's own heart, who on his deathbed was described as instructing his son Solomon, you can read it in Kings, to observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. So David has taught these things to Solomon, and now his son is indeed teaching into this way of life, of relationship with God, the creator of the world, the one who made himself known to Abraham and Moses and David. And he's teaching into what situations, that what that looks like in relation to relationships or your attitude to work or the way that you use your words. It's kind of fleshed out in really quite practical ways. But this sense of wisdom, how do we understand that? So right at the center of this passage, there's a particular literary technique for you geeks amongst us. It's kind of a chiasmic structure where it kind of all points into the center. And it hones in on these words, what is right and just and fair. For you see, wisdom in the eyes of the Proverbs isn't just about being a boffin and getting loads of head knowledge, but actually it's fleshed out, living out righteousness, justice and uprightness. It's not even just being able to give good advice to other people, but there's this sense of lived outness. So it starts at the top of like knowing wisdom, understanding words of insight, and then moves towards actually being wise, being of understanding. There's a sense of kind of growth in these things. To be right and just and fair. And I don't know about you, but how the world needs people like that, doesn't it? Those who are right and just as fair. And we all want to be like that, I think. In all the torrents of opinions and fads and social media ads and demands and our own desires and emotions, our victories and shortcomings, oh God, that we would be shaped to be wise and discerning people who do what's right and just and fair. The writer Richard Foster says this: the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but of deep people. Amen, Richard. One writer defines the sense of doing right in Proverbs as, put simply, the righteous disadvantage themselves to advantage the community, whereas the wicked disadvantage community to advantage themselves. And I think we all know deep down that sense of profound virtue in these ways. I mean, even this week, as we've celebrated 80 years since the D-Day landings in this country, whatever you think of the war, like reflecting on the actions of those who risked and gave lives, which ultimately led to the benefit and advantage, the end of conflict and providing stability for our nation. I don't think you can help but recognize some of those things, that these things are intrinsically what we behold as to be good things to aspire for. But it's all well and good saying, yeah, go for that. But we've got to recognize that this isn't just the kind of default human position, is it? Like, we know that this is true, kind of in the world, that there's all manner of things, that we don't just stumble across being wise. And actually, Solomon defines these three kind of groups of people: the wise, the foolish, and the uncommitted. Now, in some of your translations, it might say the simple, but actually it's this sense of not being committed either to the way of the wise or to the way of the foolish. You're sort of hedging your bets maybe a bit. And you can see that. So you've got the wise, the insightful, you've got the fools, you've got the uncommitted, or the young. And so if you're young amongst us, if you think of yourself as young at heart, this is speaking to you guys. Because actually you've got the kind of whole of your life ahead of you. You get to choose what sort of path you're going to go down. I think this uncommitted is quite an interesting group, and almost Proverbs speaks quite a bit to this group of people who are uncommitted. And maybe that's where you find yourself today, that you haven't quite fully made up your mind. Maybe you just go with the flow, like don't overthink things. I'm sure it'll all pan out okay in the end. And to be honest, it's all a bit more chill if you're uncommitted. It genuinely is. It's more chill to be uncommitted. Now, this isn't about being like all sold out for something, but there's a sense of choosing way. Maybe actually you're the opposite and you've overthought things so much that you know all of the different perspectives this morning. So you couldn't possibly say, yeah, I'm going to go for that. And Proverbs after this passage that we're looking at. It goes on to tell the tale of a warning towards the uncommitted, who end up being enticed by others who say, come along with us. They promise all sorts of things. They say, we'll get all sorts of goods. They'll be able to share the loot between us. Oh yeah, this is at the expense of some harmless soul, but we will get spoils. So actually, for all their sense of self-determination, in that place of being uncommitted, is actually leaving yourself open to all manner of temptation. For all the sense of self-securing of, well, I get to choose my way, it's actually a very uncertain place. And so the tale in Proverbs 1 ends with this. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. You can imagine her shouting out in the public square. She raises her voice on the highest wall. She calls out at the entrance to the gates of the city. She makes her speech. How long, you uncommitted, will you love being uncommitted? And mockers delight themselves with mocking, and hate and fools hate knowledge. Turn back, you who are uncommitted, to my rebuke. Then I will pour forth my thoughts to you. I will make known my words. Perhaps that's God's word specifically to you today. You're in that place. But hopefully for all of us, we're persuaded that actually the way of wisdom, righteousness, goodness is the way to go. Yeah? Yeah, that's a good thing to go. Don't be a fool. I mean, like, it's pretty obvious. Don't be a fool. Like, you'll end up reaping the fruits of your labors. I mean, it says in Proverbs later that, like, you'll end up tearing up your own house. That's what goes down. I know we've all probably done really foolish things, but actually walking in that way is not a good path to be going down. So whatever camp we find ourselves in really today, whether we consider ourselves the wise or the foolish or uncommitted or probably straddling all three at various different points in time, how do we take heed the call to wisdom? Where's the course I can take? Where's the YouTube playlist that, with all the how-to vids of like, this is the way of wisdom? Well, Proverbs is really actually very plain and clear. There's this playlist that's called, it declares here in the conclusion of the introduction and throughout the book that the fear of the Lord, Yahweh, I am, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So all that plays out in this book, so there's all sorts of things about relationships and about work and attitudes. All of what is good and right works out of this foundation of a rightly orientated relationship with the Maker of all things. Wisdom's not just some sanctified sense of common sense. Proverbs is stark, bold, offensive even. It's to do with God and revering Him. That's not to say that nobody that isn't a Christian can't act wisely or do justice or enact fairness. By no means. But ultimately, all wisdom and the way that life, the universe, and everything works is founded on the rightful fear and reverence and knowledge of the one true Creator God, the Lord I Am, who has made a covenant with His people. It's the beginning. It's the foundation. It's the fountain through all else flows in here. I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Like, it's His gaff, isn't it? He say all emotion and sustains it by the word of His power. So that sense of recognition and knowledge and reverence of Him is going to be pretty important to make sense of this crazy life that we live in and all the circumstances we find ourselves in. Now, this word fear, I recognize, might be a bit of a trigger. It might set off a set of images that are just unhelpful. And it's the wrong set of images, really, of maybe like an oppressive tyrant where you have to kind of cower in the corner just in case he harms you. Now, that isn't the essence here, really, at all. The Bible encourages to both delight and to fear the Lord. There's a sense of awe and reverence, a bit of what we've had this morning, of I bring nothing to the table, but you, God, are able to do everything. It's almost a bit like, maybe like standing on the edge of the Niagara Falls. I've never done that, but I could imagine your sense of, whoa, like, this is so beautiful, but actually a bit intimidating as well. Or in the eye of the thunderstorm, or gazing into galaxies of stars, or maybe seeing your vulnerable newborn baby come into the world. There's a sense of beauty, but you recognize your sense of smallness, vulnerability. God, you are creator. I am not. It's in that place that we find wisdom. But there's certainly more of a sense of awe than maybe us Western Christians would like and feel comfortable with always. It's not this sense of over-familiarity, but nor is it a sense of kind of aloof respect, like someone who you just heard about over there. Rather, there's this place of fear and reverence, like when Isaiah meets the Lord. There's a sense of encounter, of awesome closeness and revelation that is almost in that place of, I can't quite believe I'm in your presence, most holy one. You recognize God as totally other, now revealed to us in Jesus. Wonderful. So, a city church, and if you're a Christian this morning, if you call yourself part of the church, let's place that sense of awing, of revering in God right at the heart of our community. If you're parents, let's place that right at the heart of our family life. Let's place it at the heart of our friendships. If our perspective is just, God, well, he's just basically like a kind granddad who tosses out some sweets every so often and is there an emergency, then we're going to miss wisdom. We're going to miss it, because actually it's in this place that we get to grow up in him. For the call to wisdom isn't just to be wise, but actually to associate with God himself and to grow up in all things to be like him. You know, it's quite a strange sort of phenomenon, but it's quite established in kind of social anthropology that you become more like who you associate with. You might have seen like couples becoming more and more like each other as they grow up, or like these friends that then start to actually have the same kind of emotional responses to things, and you kind of get in sync with that. I think there's a call here, the Proverbs, to associate yourself. Found your life on a worshipful association with the covenant relationship with the one true God. Because you know these virtues that we talked about, like righteousness, justice, uprightness, that are the epitome of wisdom. They're not just words plucked out of anywhere of, oh, those sound good. Rather, we find them as the very description of God himself. Actually, in the law of Moses that, like, he was talking about, that David had passed on to him, we read these things. Well, what is right and just and fair? Well, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. And again, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Because, you know, in the rest of Proverbs, wisdom isn't just a concept, but it's a person, a woman, a faithful wife. God's wisdom in Proverbs almost represented in a human form. And now, from our perspective, in the benefit of having the whole Bible, we actually see that the spoiler is this is pointing towards the one who is revealed to be the wisdom of God in human form. Jesus, the one who shows us what God is like. And so ultimately, seeking wisdom doesn't lead us to a philosophy, but leads us to a person, Jesus. If the acts of the righteous are summed up as denying themselves for the benefit of the community, I don't know, I just can't help but be led to Jesus, who in the very nature God's didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself, giving himself to death, even death on a cross, for the advantage, for the liberty, for the freedom of the many, even as we've sung about this morning. But even further than that, as Alan was sharing from Romans 3 a couple of weeks ago, through his righteousness, he now speaks over and declares us as righteousness, which is such good news, isn't it? Because you could have read the first bit of Proverbs and things, oh man, this is just really intimidating. This is just really hard. Like, I don't feel like I'm that wise. How am I gonna do this? But as she says in 1 Corinthians, it's almost like wisdom calling out again. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So this morning, God is not calling us towards wisdom as like, hey, wouldn't you like to be a bit more like this? He's telling us that in Christ Jesus, he has become wisdom for you. He's saying, if you've been brought into Christ, in whom is found all wisdom, when you are weak, he is strong. When you are simple, he is wise. When you are uncommitted even, he is faithful. When you are foolish, in him there is fullness of understanding. Maybe there are people today that feel like they've been kind of drawn in by the tempters, even like in Proverbs 1. It's like, you don't know what I'm like. I know I've messed up. I'm a bit of a fool, really. You don't know how stupid I've been. Well, it's quite beautiful, because in Proverbs 1, the call of these evil people speaks of this. Come along with us. Let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Cast lots with them. We will share all the loot. Sounds quite familiar. It sounds like we've got quite a bit in common with those who crucified the innocent Jesus, casting lots for even his clothes. Even they are forgiven and reconciled through the cross. It's such good news, such recklessness. And so actually we find that we behold Jesus in his righteous mercy, and we can't help but say, wow, and have that sense of awe and reverence, not because he's some scary tyrant, but because he's doing scandalous works of grace for us. We cast ourselves onto him, who is breathtaking in his justice, his uprightness, his kindness, and his grace. And we fear and revere and we boast in the one who has become wisdom for fools like us. So just conclude with this, and we'll pray. If you're on the fence or flirting with folly this morning, choose the path of wisdom today. Choose the one true God as your firm foundation. Maybe you've got the whole of your life out ahead of you. Make these choices. Choose to love and revere God at the heart of all you do. City Church, if you are a Christian, like, Don't mess around with stuff. Revere him, love him. Let that influence all of your life, all your decisions, all your ways. Let it seep into who you are and who you are becoming. And together, therefore, let's grow up in all things to be more like our wonderful head, Christ Jesus, who is just and true and loving in all his ways. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, send your Spirit upon us that we would orientate our hearts towards you. Reveal your majesty and your otherness to us, that we would worship and revere you in all that we are and all that we do. Nurture us as your body, the church, to be those who place you in your rightful place. Creator God, sustainer of all things. And in that, may we be those who showcase the world righteousness and justice, uprightness, fairness. And Father, for any who are sitting on the fence today, just going along with life, Lord, we pray, would you apprehend, speak in your ways of wisdom. May they know the glories of life with you. Would you be praised and worshipped and glorified this morning in our hearts and our lives? For you are worthy. We bring our nothingness and receive your wisdom today. Amen.